Welcome to the Marketing Mantra Podcast, brought to you by 99signals.com, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of marketing topics, including SEO, social media marketing, content marketing, blogging, and more. Take your blog to the next level and achieve massive traffic growth by learning top blogging strategies discussed in the Marketing Mantra Podcast. And now, here is your host, Sandeep Mallya.
Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of Marketing Mantra. This is your host, Sandeep Mallya from 99signals.com. And today we are joined by Ashish Khandelwal, who's a pioneer in the fintech space of India. Ashish will give us a behind the scenes look into building and scaling a fintech startup. Just to give you a brief introduction, Ashish is a seasoned entrepreneur and business strategist with a strong background in finance and technology. He has launched and scaled multiple ventures, leveraging his expertise in financial services and technology. His ultimate goal is to revolutionize finance, empowering individuals to achieve their financial dreams through innovative solutions. Currently, Ashish is the founder of Ankh Finance, which is a digital banking platform that harnesses the power of decentralized finance, also called DeFi, to deliver next-generation financial services. The company is on a mission to meet the evolving needs of consumers by offering the best of both centralized and decentralized finance in payments, lending, investments, and savings. Ankh is an app which you can download on iOS or Android. With the Ankh app, you can earn rewards in Bitcoin or digital gold for every purchase made using the Ankh X card or Ankh Shopping. We have a very exciting offer to share with you at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. Ashish, a very warm welcome to the Marketing Mantra podcast. Super excited to have you here.
Thanks, Sandeep. Thanks for having me here and looking forward to some great conversation.
Yeah, likewise. So first, Ashish, I want to deconstruct the term fintech itself. Imagine you're explaining fintech to a friend who has never heard of the term before. How would you break it down to them in a way that makes it crystal clear to them?
Okay, so if you look at it at a fundamental level, right? These are financial services which have been there for ages, right? As old as humanity, have been, right? Then there's a tech aspect, which is technology. Fintech brings both of them together in a meaningful manner in order to simplify the journey and experience for the end customer. So, if you look at traditionally, right, with the banks, if you have to interact, it was a slightly cumbersome process, pretty expensive, if not in terms of money, at least in terms of time, right? Fintech, by bringing or by utilizing the technology, simplify the financial services for anybody and everybody, right? The classical example is you taking out your phone, right, and making the payment. It's as simple as that. And this is what the fintech is all about, bringing financial services and technology together in a more meaningful and seamless manner for an end consumer.
Got it. I want to ask you about your experience and how you eventually got into fintech. So the question to you would be, that would really deep dive into this, is what was the aha moment or experience that made you go, I want to start my own fintech company?
So I think multiple factors, right? Whenever you have to take a plunge and start, it's just not about one factor which is working out. So it's been 16 years, me working, right, and experiencing multiple aspects. Of course, financial services have been like last 12 years. In last 12 years, while I've seen it, I've built it, I have seen changing landscape, right? One thing which have been coming out very clearly, and I think lots of fellow entrepreneurs have been trying to do that, right? Which is, financial services are very cumbersome, right? How do you simplify it for the end customer, especially for a generation which is used to convenience? And at the same time, how do you kind of widen the horizon, right? Because if you look at from traditional financial services standpoint, it has been limited, right? It has not been able to reach to every customers, right, across the country and across the world as well, right? While they have been doing so, I've had a great opportunity to work with some of the great people and great organizations. And, interact with lots of, great founders, right, who have been building this space, which have been, keeping me up for so many years, and have been thinking, right, what is the specific problem which everyone is trying to do, right? What is the right timing? What is the white space which is available. I think 2 years back, you know, things started becoming slightly more clearer, right? Because you know, working for so many years, while you know, had a great experience and exposure in terms of you know, gaining some of the financial domain expertise, right? At the same time, realize you know, three things which are happening. First thing, there's a great you know, change which is happening by the introduction of technology, especially the blockchain, you know, in particular, right? Decentralized finance, you know, something where the adoption have been increasing, maybe right, may not be right, you know, in the fashion, right? So one thing was like, can we utilize decentralized finance, you know, technology to do things right for the right side of customers? That's number one. Number two, I remember, you know, almost a year and a half back, right? RBI came out with a discussion paper on the digital banking. Right, it was November, you know, last year, you know, and that was a particular moment. It was like, okay, fine. Now, regulator, you know, they are also, you know, kind of watching this space. Right, they are also willing to walk that extra mile. And financial services, being financial services, where things start, you know, with trust and ends with trust. I think somewhere, while you don't want over regulation, you still want a regulation, right? You still want an environment where customers, you know, can feel, you know, comfort, convenience, and security. Now, since all of these things were coming in and, you know, for so many years, you know, by building different financial services product or services or businesses, right, realize possibly that's the right time, right? So timing is right, need is there, technology is changing at a faster pace, right, faster pace rather, right? Possibly the time when the banking should become more smarter and more efficient, right? It's not that the banking doesn't work, it works, right? But it possibly has reached to a level where the optimization doesn't help any further, right? Financial right. inclusion, while you know, we have been talking about it, we have been, you know, doing it, it won't happen till the time there's a tectonic shift which is coming, right? And that's where you know, possibly decentralized finance, you know, is something which, you know, kind of caught our attention. We said, okay, fine, you know, let's try to build it right. And on top of it, the timing, right? Because, you know, everyone is talking about recession, right? And it's like, you know, great time to build is always recession, because then there's no clutter. Nobody is, you know, kind of chasing you all the time in terms of, you know, focusing in terms of launch. But you have enough and more time in terms of, you know, building, right? So instead of finding timing is right, demand is there, right? Our technology is there. You know, we have some experience and expertise. Why not, you know, put all of these things, you know, in a mixer? Right, and create something which possibly, you know, we would be proud of and our customer would be proud of. And that's how the journey started. And that's when we said, okay, fine, you know, let's create something which is unique. And that's the reason why it's also named as Ankh, right? Ankh, right. Which means number, right? In most of the Indian languages. Right. Right? Primarily because if you look at financial services or especially the money, it's all about numbers, right? It's all about how you manage it, how best you optimize it. And that's the reason why we, you know, kind of decide to start and jump into this.
Thanks for sharing your journey. And Ankh is a very interesting app. Ever since I was introduced to Ankh, I've been a power user, and we can discuss more about it at a later point. There are so many rewards that you can earn. And for a crypto enthusiast, I feel it's a must-have app. And I haven't used an app like Ankh before, so it's a pretty unique offering. My next question, your answer would be a great segue to that, because fintech, like you said, is a very dynamic industry. What do you find most exciting about it? And what are some of the coolest opportunities entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs can tap into?
See, great, or rather, greatest thing about the fintech is, right, it's a very fast and evolving, right? The dynamism itself is very exciting, to be very honest, right? But of course, right, when you marry technology with the financial services, because financial services is something which touches everyone's life, every point of time, right? The moment you bring it, you know, together, it opens up, I think, significant opportunity, right? To innovate, right? Because if you look at it, by the merger of it, right, you can make you know, banking far more efficient and effective and convenient and cheaper as well, right? So that's one thing, you know, which have been, you know, fairly there. The second and the most important piece is financial inclusion, right? I think we have been talking about this a lot. Everyone has been talking about it a lot, right? And that's a reality as well, right? It's not easy for everybody to get connected with the banking, with the traditional banking, right? And that's where the fintech or the financial services with the technology automation, right, I have played a significant role, will continue to play a significant role. The third thing, if you look at the experience, right, I think, you know, some of us have grown old, cribbing a lot about, you know, how bad the banking experience has been, right? And that's where, you know, so-called neobanks have been playing a decent role, right, in terms of changing, you know, the way we experience banking, right? It's at the end a money, right? It's our money. We want to feel it, use it whenever we want, wherever we want, right, without any restrictions. I think, you know, from a fintech standpoint, there's a great opportunity which still continues to exist in terms of, you know, making the user experience, right, and journey very, very, you know, seamless, right? If you look at further, right, something which is well-known fact, right? India became data-rich before it actually became rich, right? Now, given the fact that there's so much amount of data which is available, right, there's significant opportunity which exists, you know, in the fintech space. If you, you know, harness the power of this data, right, by building models, by, you know, bettering, you know, fraud detection, you know, credit risk assessment, you know, wealth advisory and whatnot, right? I think, you know, that's where, you know, fintech will continue to play a significantly large role because, you know, the moment you start using, look at this way, right? Possibly banking is cumbersome because there's so much of friction, but that friction is required, right? Because, you know, as a bank, you want to ensure that, you know, customer is right, you know, customer is not fraud, there are no fraudulent activities which are happening, but you use this data power, right? You remove this entire friction and you have a great thing. So I think there's a, you know, a great opportunity that exists. Other, you know, couple of opportunities, if I have to, you know, kind of talk about is open banking, you know, API, right? I think, you know, in last so many years, there have been a great technological shift in terms of, you know, having APIs in place, right? Open banking coming in here. Now, if you look at, as a fintech, you have a great opportunity to utilize existing financial services infra. On top of it, you can innovate, right? You can, you know, innovate further. You don't have to, you know, get to the basics always. So there's a significant, you know, opportunity which exists there. Of course, right? I cannot stop at blockchain and the decentralized finance, right? Because I think that's a you know, significant you know, piece which is coming, right? There have been a significant you know, negative about it, right? About the entire, you know, buzz around the crypto, but there's a significantly high positive impact which this technology can create, right? And hence, you know, blockchain and the crypto, not crypto, decentralized finance to a large extent, right? You know, gives you a significant opportunity as an entrepreneur. So these are some of the, you know, areas if you look at. Of course, the opportunity remains, you know, endless, right? Because even the things like regulatory, you know, tech, right? Tech as we call it. Because as the regulatory and compliance, you know, is becoming more and more stringent, there's a significant opportunity for any fintech, you know, founder to get into that space. And simply utilizing, you know, AI, ML, right? And multiple, you know, other pieces, right? Every aspect of financial services, I think, is up for, you know, challenge, right? The status quo has been a, you know, challenge for a significantly longer time. I think we'll continue to get challenged, especially in these areas and many more areas. And, you know, I think the last one, which have been on priority by, you know, UN and a couple of other countries, including India as well, is our impact financing. I think, you know, we just, you know, got started on the impact financing, right? You know, and impact financing against, you know, again, you know, there's an impact investing as well, right? As a consumer, as a user, if I want to really, really invest, right, my money, where it can really create an impact, then why not, right? So these are some of the areas, of course, right? You know, as you bring both the ecosystem together, the opportunities are endless. These are some of the, you know, top of mind opportunities, you know, which are there, which, you know, anybody and everybody can and should look at in order to bring that required change.
Great answer. And one way to look at it would be opportunities like you discussed. But I was just thinking, I mean, the word that you used is friction. Banking and friction go together, right? And fintech itself, from what you've said, it can be pretty challenging for a new entrepreneur because you know, it has a very competitive landscape. Navigating the regulations and compliance, that's another aspect of it. So these are just some of the challenges. I want to learn, what are the top three survival tips that you would give to entrepreneurs navigating the fintech jungle?
Before I get to the specifics, right? I think some amount of friction is always required, right? Be it life, be it relationship, or be it fintech or financial services, right? Because if I give you a seamless experience where you just come, tick, and you get the money, you know, you possibly will start doubting, right? But anyway, coming to the point. See, if you look at financial services, right? Because the core is financial services, right? And tech is something which is enabling it and taking it to the next level. As an entrepreneur, right, there are a few things and everything falls into one basic principle, right? In the financial services, in the money matter, everything starts from trust and ends at trust. Okay, now with this, right, there are few things which are very important, right? First thing, given the fact that it's a financial services, given the fact that it's heavily regulated, right, there are significant compliances which are there. I think, for anybody or any fintech founder to survive, right, and thrive in this environment, you have to have your arms around regulations, right, and compliances. I don't think compliances are, they have never been, but, furthermore, it's not a choice, right? It has to be by design, which essentially means you need to know it, you need to be aware of it, you need to make sure that, every part of it, is kind of included in the entire scheme of things, right? So that's the one important piece. Mm-hmm. The second important piece is, given that, again, it's a money, again, goes back to basic principle, the privacy, right? Data privacy, data security, right? Is very, very important, right? You can build anything and everything, but you can lose it overnight, right? And of course, right? Whatever you do, there's nothing called, perfection. But you have to always be mindful of the, fact that you need to prioritize, privacy. You need to, prioritize data security, right? At most. The third thing, and important thing, is I think for any fintech, founder, is to find out opportunity to collaborate, right, and foster the entire partnership ecosystem, right? Because there's an ecosystem. There are means and ways consumers, interact with that ecosystem. Right. If you are trying to, kind of create something, right, where the trust is not, getting built into the ecosystem where consumers are interacting with, I think it's a lengthy journey, right? It's a very, very long journey. And hence, building strategic partnership, building or getting into the partnership ecosystem is very, very important, right? So these are, three things which are, in my view, must have. Right. Again, going back to the basic principle, when it comes to money, start with trust, ends with trust. Make sure that those fundamental building blocks are there. Rest of the pieces, anyway, you have to build it and you'll continue to build.
We touched upon compliance and regulations briefly, and I would like to deep dive into it, because this is a question that a lot of aspiring fintech entrepreneurs will also have, because these are subject to changes, right? It can be very tricky waters to navigate, especially in the fintech space. So how does a startup stay up to date and ensure that their company stays on the right side of the regulatory fence?
Okay, so given the fact that it's a, again, going back to the, earlier conversation, it's about money, right? Since the regulatory environment is fast evolving as well, right? With the speed at which technology is changing financial services, regulations are also changing. And compliances are also, changing and getting updated every passing day, right? Now, it's very important, right? For you as a fintech founder, right? Or you as a financial services, professional, right? To be updated about these pieces. And there are few strategies which are there, right? First thing first, I think most of the regulators are, fairly open. And they do update, their websites, right? Their forums. And there are, multiple places, right, from discussion paper to consultation paper to, final outlook. So, I think, keep yourself updated, right? Visit, these, websites or, information centers regularly, right? Second piece is, and very important piece is, make sure that, there's a legal expert who is there, right? There's a compliance expert who is there. Whatever business model you have, right? Run it through them, right? Because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And the problem is, if you don't know, right, those aspects, it can just put your entire business model, at risk, right, at any point in time. So hence, while of course, right, things are changing, right, you need those expertise, but have those views, right, very, very important. The third thing, and important thing, which, in all scenarios are applicable, is like have a network. Right, because say for example, if I'm not updated, right? Because of course there are thousands of battles you have to fight every day, but somebody else also is fighting, those battles, right? It's very important to have that trusted network, right? Of whether it's a fellow founders or industry professionals or other people, set of people, right? With whom you keep bouncing off, right? I think collaboration is the key. Right, it's just practically impossible for everybody and anybody to put your arms around on anything and everything, right? But collectively, the kind of knowledge which you can rely on is far superior, right? So of course, right, have a trusted network, right? For sure, right? Apart from this, one thing which have been very helpful, right, to us as well is like participate with regulators. Right, keep the dialogue open. There are multiple forums, there are multiple channels, right? They keep inviting you for some of the consultation. They may not be inviting you, but you still have those consultation paper out. Just make sure that you are engaged in all form or fashion, right? There are regulatory sandboxes available, especially in a country like India, right? RBI does provide regulatory sandbox. There's an innovation hub. You can also, while it's also taking time to mature, right? But there's a basic which is available, right? You plug yourself into that and you can just see whether, you are meeting those regulatory or compliance criteria or not. So, these are four or five, different ways, where at least, or the way at least, I try, right? The most effective to me is the network, right? To be very honest, I think, what I possibly would learn by reading, thousands of, pages long, any kind of paper, I learn that, in half an hour, right? And I think as a fintech founder, any founder, right, for that matter, your network is net worth, right? It goes without saying. And that's the best, which can happen. Apart from that, of course, you have to do research, you have to do, keep monitoring what exactly is happening, how scenarios are happening. But there are means and ways which are available. Utilize it.
Great. So let's get to the marketing side of things, and you can talk about your own company here, Ankh. But since you've been in the fintech space for such a long time, I think there are some other inspiring stories you can share as well. So the common consensus in fintech is, that one of the biggest challenges the industry has is to acquire and retain customers. So what creative or unconventional approaches have you seen work effectively in this competitive landscape?
Okay, yeah. So, acquiring and of course then retaining the customer, right? Again, it's a challenge which every industry faces, fintech more so, because when it comes to, again, money, loyalty doesn't exist for long, right? Unless there's a meat to it, right? And if you have to really retain the customer, of course, you need to make sure that there's a constant, value somebody is seeing or your customers are seeing on a regular basis and updated basis, right? But apart from that, if you look at, from an acquisition standpoint, right, and retaining, these, customers later on. First thing first, I think there's nothing called cookie cutter approach, right? Especially in the financial services. What works for you doesn't possibly work for me, which essentially means you need to know your market and your segment you're targeting, right? The more niche it gets, the more specific it gets, I think the better, your targeting strategies become, right? So, understanding, those consumers are very, very important. For example, I'm just trying to post about, Ankh, right? And we are just starting right now, right? We are fairly, clear that we want to target those customers you know, right, who have an investor mindset, right? The mindset of, you know, looking at an opportunity to invest, right? Because one of the key proposition which we have is also, you know, how do you get a return on this spend, right? Now, of course, everything is, anything is, you know, built around that, right? The second piece, important piece is the gamification, right? I think behavioral science, right, plays a significant role, right? If you look at outside India, because see, so far, India has been more of a adopting, you know, some of these pieces from the other market, primarily US, right? But if you look at, and which is right as well, right? Because, you know, you need to reach to a certain baseline before you start, you know, creating anything which is, you know, new. Behavioral science, right, is a great, you know, piece which is there in the US market, possibly not so much in the India market. Having said that, may not be true anymore, right? There are, you know, players who are utilizing the behavioral sciences fundamental and the gamification, right, in order to engage customer. Because the more engaged your customer is, right, you know, better, you know, life journey, you know, becomes easier for you as well as, you know, for, you know, any customer, right? Some of the pieces which I think, you know, have been, no more a secret, which like, you know, your entire social media marketing, your, you know, influencers and so on and so forth. I think that has become fairly, fairly standard, right? It's like, you need to have that, right? More than anything else, right? Important aspect is, and something which have been talked about a lot, but I don't think has happened a lot, is a referral marketing, right? Or incentivizing, you know, customer for, you know, multiple pieces, right? So while so far, you know, most of the referral marketing have been more about, you know, how do you kind of, you know, refer, you know, your friends and family and you'll get whatever XYZ thing, right? The whole point is, I think, you know, somewhere this referral marketing has an immense potential, right, in order to attract the right set of customers, because see, as the philosophy also goes, right, generally your customers, right, are in the similar looking customer set, right? And that's the reason why you call it clustering, your segmentation, so on and so forth, right? So if you acquire one customer, you know, and from your target, you know, segment, target market, niche area, right? If you have to acquire the second one, the socialization definitely works, and referral is one of them.
Right.
I think some of the you know, classical example you know, have been you know, in the market, like Slice, right? I think they had a you know, greatly successful referral program, right? 12% club. If you look at most of the pieces in the 12% club, you know, I think you know, have come because of referral, right? Because you know, I see a value, and I you know, want to make sure that my friends or my you know, family or, you know, people in my circle also see that value.
How do you think CRED is doing in this respect? Sorry to interrupt you. CRED, when you said gamification, all I could think about was CRED, right? Because
no, there's
a lot of gamification. How well do you think their referral system is doing?
Okay, so from their referral standpoint, you know, I'm not pretty sure, right? But their gamification, I think, is excellent, right? You know, it's something where you really, really go, you try to figure out, of course, right? Beyond a point, you know, they also would be iterating and improving on, right? I'm pretty sure. But I think, you know, that's one of the examples. That's the thing I said, right? Some of the, you know, companies are, you know, using the behavioral science and the gamification. And of course, you know, in my view, CRED is also one of that example, right? Now, from a reference standpoint, I think because the kind of niche audience, you know, CRED had, right? I believe it worked fantastically well, right? But possibly not referral purely from the perspective of, you know, earning some extra bucks. But it's like, you talk about, you know, how good the design is, right? I think you know, in last 4 years, 5 years, CRED has set its own benchmark, right, in terms of design. And everyone just, you know, talk about it. And that becomes, in a way, a different referral altogether. So that's the reason why referral is not only about, you know, incentivizing customers saying, okay, fine, refer, you know, you get 100 rupees. There's much more, you know, to it.
It's also about the user experience, right, that
yes,
you provide on. On your
because app. Fundamentally, it's all about social validation, right? With the referral, that's what you're trying to do, right? So get to this with a more, you know, behavioral science approach than anything else. The next one is, you know, given the fact that acquisition is tough, right? Given the fact that acquisition is very costly, right? I think one of the pieces is partnership, right? Do study partnerships, right? You know, get to, you know, those set of, you know, partners who are already catering to the need of your possibly your target market, right, or your target
Right.
segment, right? There's no point in terms of redoing a significant amount of these stuff, right? And I think over time, that's something which have been tried by multiple players, right? And that's the reason why embed financing became also pretty famous, right? Because idea is you just plug yourself in, right? I think a lot many people have been saying this again and again, which is lending is a feature, right? It's not a product. If it's a feature, it has to be plugged into the right ecosystem. If it's a right ecosystem, there is a right partner. If there's a right partner, you figure that out, right? And to the right strategic set of partners, that's very important. Other pieces, something we've already discussed, which is about credit design, right? Most of the people were excited one point in time about the entire design. I think the customer centric design, right, or the experience itself plays a role in terms of acquisition engine as well as the retention, right? Because if customers feel comfortable, right, because there was a time when people felt comfortable banking with the private banks because they were giving you better experience than some of the older banks, right? Then over time that also started changing, right? Because the need started changing, right? You start appreciating a different piece every time in a different scenario. Now if you look at the next generation, right, they are very restless, right? We still have some
it's patience the TikTok and generation.
Absolutely, TikTok generation, right? And go to the next generation, which is your alpha generation, right? Possibly my daughter falls into that, right? They absolutely have no time, right? If they like it, they have it, they want it, right? And start, right? So with the passing generation, I think consumer behavior is changing, and that's the reason why, again, right, I'll go back to behavioral science. Right, it's not easy to crack. Right, honestly speaking, we are also trying. Right, but I think that's one of the great retention, acquisition, tool. Again, goes back to basic, which is like if people are talking about you more than you are talking about yourself, right? I think you're half of the problem is solved. Right, and that's where the entire basic goes. Like exercise those. There are great examples. There are many more examples. Which are there. Learn from them and better it. So yeah, so these are some of the pieces which are there in order for somebody to really crack the acquisition and the retention puzzle.
So Ashish, there is a saying that goes, success leaves clues. I think it was Tony Robbins who said it. I'm not very sure. I need to double check. But can you share an inspiring story of a fintech startup that really nailed the whole process? And what lessons can other entrepreneurs in fintech learn from their journey?
Definitely, Sandeep. I think, if you look at broadly, right, there are many such examples, right, which have created a significant impact on the daily lives. I'll take one example, right, and I think it's slightly controversial because multiple people have different views or multiple views, right, is out Paytm, right, in India, and pretty much similar to that Square in US, right. Let's give them the credit, right, despite everything which have been around. I think at the right time, they identified the right problem, right? There was a time when we were using cash mostly, right? Or we were using some form of cards, right? Now the problem with that was two sides of the ecosystem, right? One side of the ecosystem, which is like somebody is accepting the payment, right? It was very costly for them, right? Inconvenient at large, right? There used to be time when people used to run, every 2 hours, 3 hours to bank to deposit the cash in the current account, right? If you're a, SME or if you're a, shop owner who is, doing a great, business. If not, day end, you have to spend time, energy, money in terms of, figuring out your other pieces. I think, one side of this, the second side of this is, loose change was a big problem, right? I think some of us do remember, heavy pockets, which we used to have. Right, or heavy wallets, right? I think they identify the right problem, right? They figured out what is the need that the customer have, right? So that's a one thing and I'll give it to them, right? Because whatever they did, I think they taught us how to do the payment through mobile, and that's a Paytm,
yeah.
right? The second piece is while they've been at it, right, for so many years, and I think that's one of the lesson for most of the people, including us, which is like you have to keep iterating, right? You have to keep simplifying the user experience, right? What experience you see in the payment ecosystem was not there 10 years back, was definitely not there 20 years back, right? There was a constant change, right? There was constant innovation. There was still still a time when possibly if I had to transfer money to you, even with the example which I'm giving Paytm, I still need to punch in your phone number, right?
Yeah.
Change it to the next level, which is like QR code, right? Change it to the next level, which is forget about everything else, right? I scan your you're done, right? Similarly, if you look at on the other side of the table, right, because it's always an ecosystem, right? The latest, thing which I think, have been talked a lot about is a soundbox, right? I think great, innovation for a market like India, right? Where you have a trust issue, your retailer doesn't know whether you've really paid or not. There are so many people, and suddenly there's a pop-up, right? You receive whatever XYZ amount of money. A great, user experience, and you do it over time, right? The battles are not always, won in a year or two or three, right? You have to be at it. There's a, significant piece which is there. If you look at, other pieces, and fit very, very important for the financial services, right? Because see, most of the financial services products are cyclical in nature, right? You may need, let's say, home loan today. You may not, need it like next year, next to next year, right? You may need a personal loan today. You may not need again, right? You definitely do the payments quite frequently, but it's not that that's the only purpose for which you are going to use one particular app. It's the entire ecosystem, and that's when you start expanding your services, right, in a logical manner, right? We can argue all the way side, but I think if you are hooked onto that particular platform, fairly your majority of the financial services need can be met. Right. So over time, expansion, of those, services of the product, which makes, life easier. And that's also important for retention as well, right? Because when it comes to financial services, loyalties are very weak, right? If you have to build a loyalty, apart from other pieces, you have to make sure that you can cater to the need of, customers, right? Continuously. And you continuously evolve, right? And improve, your offering, right? Basis the market need, right? Market demand. What exactly market is asking for? Because every time you do something is great, but what is great today, tomorrow is good. Day after tomorrow is absolutely not good, right? Because that becomes a default. So you have to keep iterating, right? Other pieces, again, something which we touched upon earlier was a strategic partnership, right? I think Paytm did a great job, right? If you look at there have been times when even on the Coca-Cola, bottles, you should see, scan this code and get 2 rupees.
Yeah.
Right. So even if you're not using Paytm services, but if you're drinking a Coke, it's like just to get a 2 rupees, right. While
it's back,
still money. Yeah. So what they did, right. In my view, right. Not that, but I think they did a great job in terms of, connecting those small dots and reaching to your universe.
Yeah.
A great example of acquisition, and of course other pieces which are there, right? Even now, if you look at some of the partnership which they've done with the large banks, other institutions are noteworthy. Right. Last piece, it's always about culture, right? I think if you look at when I talk to some of the friends and other people, right? In Paytm and other places, I think they got a great culture, right? Okay, so as I say, right, you can be smartest of the lot, right? You can be the best of the lot, but if you don't have a great culture, it will never bring people together. They would not, there's no collaboration, there's no innovation, Fundamentally, you're not building. If you're not building, of course, right, everything falls apart. I think something which we have to learn, because that organization have been there for long, and they've been doing it repeatedly again and again, right? Even if you look at some of the recent financials, looks to be steadily improving, right? Nothing gets built over time. You have to be at it. You have to have a great Culture, you need to have a great set of partnership. You need to have close eyes in terms of what exactly market is looking for, right? You need to understand what are the needs or the demands which are there, right? I think all of these, I learn a lot. I appreciate a lot, the PTM, and this is where I think they have done a great job.
Awesome, PTM is a great success story, and yeah, you spoke about iterations. I think Paytm started like any other mobile recharge app out there. The one that I can think of is FreeCharge. So it was synonymous with recharging your mobile or paying your mobile bills. And from there to pivot to UPI payments. Now it's synonymous with UPI payments. Every vendor out there has a Paytm along with the UPI code. So they've done their branding quite well. When it comes to culture, I mean, it's very surprising to hear that Paytm has a good culture, because now it can't be called a startup anymore. It's a huge organization. They even had their IPO. The stock is not doing well, but that's a different story altogether. But for an organization like Paytm to be so large and yet have a culture which is like more like a startup culture, open culture, where everyone is collaborative, that's very nice to hear, and that's a great example. And I'm pretty
in
sure,
fact, Sandeep, I would I would like to add, right? I think in my career I've worked with some of the great companies, right? And some of the large, right? Or largest of the lot. One thing which have been there with all of these companies is a great culture. It's at the end, it's the people who are building, right? I don't think it's about, you becoming, I've worked with, multi-billions or trillion-dollar companies as well, right? Some of the biggest names in the financial services, be it globally or locally. One thing which I really, really watch for, is the kind of culture that they had, where everyone has an association, everyone has a feeling, everyone, walks into the office thinking, you need to crack something, right? You need to build something. That's only one factor which works, and not that I'm surprised there, right? IPO, you become bigger, you become better, you become more profitable. So those are part and parcel of I think any organization's life cycle. But if the culture is bad, nothing holds good.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it's very nice to hear that Paytm, as well as all the other organizations that you worked with, culture was something that was really great. My last question to you would be, imagine you're talking to someone who's sitting on a fintech startup idea. Imagine someone who's a listener to this podcast, who's right now listening to our conversation. Imagine he has a great fintech idea. He or she has a great fintech idea, but is hesitant to take the leap. What advice or words of wisdom would you give them?
Okay. So I think, word of wisdom has to, come from, a lot many, different people, but from my experience in so many years mentoring some of the fintech founders, per se. See, first thing, and which I don't think, can be taken away from in any other direction, is about be convinced about your idea yourself, right? So it's like, you say, right, embrace the, power of the idea which you have. So if you are convinced, right, if you believe, in your own idea, I think, your major part of the battle is won, right? So that's one thing. The second piece is, start small, but start, right? Somewhere you start, right? I think it's all about, taking that first step, forward, right? Take that, if you're convinced, right, that your idea has that power, right? Of course, in the journey, ideas, keep getting enhanced, keep getting changed, keep getting, pivoted. There are a lot of things which are there, but if you were convinced, then take the first step, right? Take the first bold step in terms of starting small, right? Because if you want to really reach to, 1,000, right? Somebody has to first reach to 999. Somebody has to start from one. I think just start, right? And especially in an environment we live in, honestly speaking, right? You have enough and more tools, the ecosystem, the support which is available for you to step forward and take that first baby step. Rest, I'm pretty sure you'll have to figure out, and you will figure out as you go through this, right? The third important piece is, I think somewhere there are significant amount of people, right, we keep meeting as well. While it has been there for ages, right? Have been everybody and anybody have been telling, you know, telling you or telling you know anybody and everybody is like learn from the failure, right? It's very important. I think you know if you do not have that you know knack to identify you know learnings, right? Right? Not, but if you have that, I think you're there, right? I think you know you got a great idea. You gotta, you know, start small, but start, right? And understand one thing, everything will fall apart, right? Nothing will work, right? Your ecosystem wouldn't want, you know, work, your, you know, people won't work, your investor won't work, your, you know, nothing will work, right? There would be a significant amount of failures which will happen, but as long as you are determined, as long as, you know, and have belief in your, you know, idea power, I think you should be able to, you know, kind of move forward. The other important piece is something which has worked very well, Sandeep, right, for me, is support system, support ecosystem, right? Surround yourself with, you know, great people, right? I think, again, right, nothing new, which I'm telling, but I think it has been, you know, proven again, and it has definitely worked in my favor, right? I think there was a time when I was thinking, you know, should I really start? Should I not start? Right? And then I had, right, you know, lots of, you know, friends, you know, in the ecosystem. Some of the, you know, some of them are, you know, founders of other fintechs and whatnot. And they came out with a you know, great push. It's like, you know, because sometimes, you know, so it's like you're always at a cliff, right? You still need a help, you know, or support. Somebody who's like can push you and can hold you as well. Right. So if you're falling, I mean, somebody can hold you. If you're not right, taking that you know bold step, somebody is pushing you. I think that works, you know, fantastically well. Right. So surround yourself with great people. Surround yourself with a great network. You know that should you know take you to the next step. The last piece, you know, or possibly the second last piece, which I would want to add on, right, is like be bold. Right. See, it's always a you know. A different feeling, right? I mean, suddenly your you know salary won't come. You have no idea whether you know you'll be able to you know do anything. Forget about success, not success, right? Whether you'll be able to really do anything, right? Because let's be very honest, right? At every stage, right, of our life, our career, our success also goes to the ecosystem, right? So suddenly you are part of a certain ecosystem, and hence possibly your success. Suddenly that ecosystem goes off. You have to build your own ecosystem. Right. If you have to do that, you know, you have to be very bold. Right. You have to take a risk. You have to take calculated risk. You have to be very thoughtful. But you know, don't you know get totally you know into it. Right. Sometimes you have to just decide and do it. Right. Nothing beyond that. Right. You overthink, you overkill. Right. Which is there. And the important part. Right. Which is true is at it, right? Be at it, right? Stay focused, you know, stay determined, right? As I strongly believe as well, right? Strategy is all about serendipity, right? If it's successful, you say, you know, it's a great strategy. But if it's failure, it was still had some strategy, right? I think the only thing is, you know, just keep going, be at it, keep building, right? And keep correcting, right? That's important. That's the reason why you have to be, you know, fairly sure that you can embrace, you know, failure. It's not that, you know, one, you know, issue and you're like, okay, fine. Why? Right? So as long as, you know, you have these, you know, pieces, I think take the leap, right? I think it requires significant courage. It requires significant belief in your own potential, right? It requires a significant amount of you know passion, determination, right? Learning to learn a lot. I mean, honestly speaking, when I started this, right, and certainly before that also, you know, I've been you know kind of building some of the large businesses. They were, I can tell you, 90% of the pieces which I had no idea about, right? Be it a legal, be it a, you know other aspect, right, which had to be you know learned, right? So you need to keep learning, keep you know adapting to the scenario, especially in the fintech, where you have another moving part, which is your regulatory environment, your compliance environment, and you know, significant amount of you know flying arrow which can come from either the direction, right? I think if you have these pieces, you are there. Just take that step, move on, you'll build it.
Right. I think having a growth mindset not just for a fintech entrepreneur, but for any entrepreneur to be a perpetual learner is super important. Yeah. Thanks for sharing those tips. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of takeaways for aspiring entrepreneurs, not just in fintech, but any industry. Finally, Ashish, I would like you to talk about Ankh Finance. It's one of the most interesting apps I've used in the last few months or so. I was completely hooked the day I downloaded it. And I'm pretty sure our listeners would like to learn more about it, how it works, and basically what are the rewards that they get, you know, for using it. So over to you.
Great, Sandeep. So I think that this is the most important, you know, piece, you know, as a founder, right, to talk about your organization, what you're building. So yeah, so we are building, you know, Ankh. Fundamentally, we are creating next generation of financial services, right, by bringing the power of decentralized finance, right? I strongly believe that decentralized finance has a significant role to play if done right. Mm-hmm. As a you know, step one, we have you know, launched you know, Ankh app on Play Store and App Store, right? It can be downloaded, it can be utilized. You know, with the first thing, which is more about how do we kind of you know, make you earn returns on your spend, right? When I say so, you know, of course, right? Most of people are like you know. Well, great. Everyone gives you some kind of coins, some kind of rewards, and some kind of, you know, points and whatnot, right? What is so different? Different is, you know, multiple pieces. Number one, you know, we are calling it, you know, India's or world's first bounty card, right? Every time you go spend, you get 1% unconditional, uncapped in the form of, you know, either digital gold or the Bitcoin of your choice. And you can switch on, switch off, you know, between these, you know, at any point, and we would be, you know, adding lot and lot more, you know, digital assets, right? In order to make sure that, you know, you earn market-linked rewards and real rewards, right? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, we have over, you know, 200 plus, you know, partners, right? Including your Swiggy, Zomato, MakeMyTrip, and so on and so forth, right? There, you know, if you shop using, you know, Ankh shopping section, you get accelerated reward, right? So, you know, for example, on Swiggy, you get 7%, right? Again, uncapped, right? On Zomato, 7.5%, and, you know, on multiple other, you know, brands, right? So, this is the second piece. So, you can load the money on the X card. You can, you know, swipe X card. You can use it, you know, anywhere and everywhere you want.
When you when you say X card, is it a virtual card or is it both virtual and physical?
So virtual card you get instantly, and you get a physical card, right? Where you can just, you know, apply it, will be delivered to your, you know, home address. Okay. Right? So you can use it online, offline, right? As a rupee enabled, and hence, you know, widely accepted across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right? On the shopping side, again, you know, 200 plus, you know, merchant who are giving you accelerated, you know, reward. Mm-hmm. Idea is, you know, you start, you know, covering your maximum, you know, spend basket and earn rewards on that. Real rewards, which is bounty, and bounty in the form of you know, digital gold or the Bitcoin, right?
Right.
Once you accumulate them, you know, digital gold, for example, you can just you know, withdraw it. You can sell it, you know, at the market price, you know, whenever you want, mm-hmm. right? Or you can offer the physical delivery, you know, at certain you know, quantity, right? Bitcoin, mm-hmm. you can take it out in your own, you know, wallet, mm-hmm. private wallet, as your you know, Bitcoin, your key, right? You take it, use it the way you want to use it,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the first offering, you know, which we have gone live with. We would also be, you know, kind of sticking the ecosystem around lending, around investment, around savings. So lot many, you know, more features which are about to come as we go. Fundamentally, you know, as I said, Sandeep, what we are looking, you know, to do at this point of time is create a financial services ecosystem where you plug in the decentralized finance advantages. Right, because relationship with the money still remains the same, right? You still have to spend and you still have to, you know, kind of use it, right, with the larger ecosystem. But at the same time, you know, there's a next generation of, you know, pieces which are coming together. How do you kind of, you know, bridge the gap? This is where we are, and this is where Ankh, you know, is building and continue to build with a deeper focus. It's been 3 weeks, you know, we have launched, we have gone live, you know, so yeah, so of course, you know, use it and, you know, for your user, right? You know, there's a discount. So we have a one-time lifetime membership fees, right? You know, but your user can use 99signals as a referral code and discount code to avail, you know, discount Again, this is a one-time, lifetime membership fees. There is no hidden charge. There is no annual fees. There is no maintenance fees. Etc. There is never going to be any capping in terms of reward, right? Because one of the things which we realize, with most of the offering available in the market, is like you get 10% cashback up to 30 rupees, right? Mm-hmm. Effectively means nothing, right? To a large extent. So we have removed. We have tried to simplify it, right? And bringing the certainty for the end customers. That's where we are, and of course, many more features to come.
Many more iterations, like you said.
Absolutely. Yeah. So every day, we are iterating. Every day, we are adding certain things. Yeah. Of course, right? We are new, so we are walking through that journey.
Right. Thank you so much, listeners. You can check the show notes of this episode both on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify. You'll find more details about the offer that Ashish just shared for his app, Ankh, which you can download on both App Store or Play Store. Ashish, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. Certainly a lot of takeaways for our listeners.
Thanks, thanks, Sandeep. Thanks for having me here. And hopefully, as we, progress through this, journey, we are able to, share, of course, some of the experience and expertise, which we'll develop in the new world. But at the same time, create a real impact in the lives of the, consumers by making sure that, we can really, really deliver impactful financial services solution for their every need, right, as things, go. So, yeah, so thanks. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ashish. And very excited about the future, and we'll discuss more about it. And we can probably have you again on the show when Ankh has released a few more iterations, and there are a few more interesting updates that you have to share. Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of the Marketing Mantra podcast.
Marketing Mantra with Sandeep Malia is a podcast by 99 Signals, a place to find top-notch content on a wide range of online marketing topics. To get started, visit 99signals.com/best to check out all the top-rated articles on the blog, or simply view the description of each episode to download free online marketing resources to level up your marketing skills. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question or topic suggestion for Sandeep? Simply send a voice message via Anchor app or send an email to podcasts@99signals.com. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Marketing Mantra on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any major podcast player.